Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Kyle, and welcome to The Conversation. This week on The Conversation, Manchester United at 2-0-1 start. Thank you, Van der Gaal, but then who did we play, really? Also, we're going to hit on a lot of stuff I didn't get to last week. Respect and living life to the fullest. It's your life. You know, you can be happy if you want to. And also, I almost opened up the bottles of champagne when I heard that Jesse Ventura got $1.8 million. You talk about one of the happiest guys in the world right now. I am happier than happy happy. I mean, taking $1.8 million because somebody that's now dead may have said something bad about you in a book, and now you have to go after his wife. What kind of spine do you have? What in the... I hope you're catching the sarcasm there about me being happy over this, you know. You're judged by the content of your character. The conversation starts right now.
I am taken inside.
Psalm 25, 1 through 6. Unto thee, O Lord, I do, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumphant over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed, and let them be ashamed which transgresses without cause. Hey guys, you're kind of going through your day today. Welcome to the program. Last week we had a little glitch. I had somebody send in my program for me because it wasn't working on my phone or on my computer. I couldn't get anything to save or come up, so they did that and they glitched and they accidentally had a 30-minute program set up. Nope, they had a 15-minute one, so I didn't get into all what I wanted to last week, so we're going to jump into that, and we're also going to jump into some new stuff, as you can tell from the beginning of the program. You know, 2-0-1. I just got to see the highlights of the game. I didn't get to bed at like 3:30. I couldn't sleep last night, so I was just watching some of the highlights of the game. All my Man United emails and stuff have like either Greenwich Mountain Time or like British Standard Time, and I'm like, oh, they're playing tomorrow at 7:30. You know, and it's the 29th, so it'll be 7:30 tomorrow. And I forgot that when it was live here, it's already the 30th of July there, and it was at like 12:30 at night, so I missed it. And so, but that was a really, really, really good game, and because I just got to see the highlights. We ended up going 0-0 against Inter Milan. You know, ever since we had the coach that we've gotten to, you know, Van Gaal, I think he's been a real asset to the team. He hasn't gotten some of the players he wanted, not on his own accord. He hasn't gotten the players just because they don't want to come. They just don't want to be there. And that's one of the reasons why I don't think people are mad. Okay, well, he didn't get this player, he didn't get that player. Well, he didn't get the players because he didn't have that actual, they didn't want to come, point blank. So since they don't want to come, nothing you can do. You know, if you want to play for, you know, by related choosing, you're going to play there. You don't, you know, just because you're Manchester United doesn't mean that's where you want to play. If you grew up and you've always wanted to play for Barcelona, that's where you're going to want to go. I mean, so that's kind of where we put things into perspective in that light. And I think it's going to, in the end, be great for the team, you know. So that's kind of where I'm going to leave that. I think this preseason is going to let us see what we're working with and what he has. And just, that's why if you watch some of the games, they'll play different goalies. And some of these, like, if it's, as long as it's a friendly, they'll work on you play as many players as you want. And, like, when I saw them take on the Chicago Fire, it was so hot that it was like 90-some degrees that they were changing people. They had like water breaks and it's because it was so hot. And you know, they're used to playing in the wintertime. That's when the Premier League is. So. But I want to kind of move on now to a little bit to like what I was going to get into last week and some things, because we're losing respect in this country. And as I alluded to in the beginning, Jesse Ventura is a big part of that. $1.8 million he's getting. I could support that man and kiss that man's butt right now if he would have said, you know what, I just wanted my good name cleared, and it was cleared due to the fact that I won the settlement. I want that money to go to the family, to the kids. I want that to go into a trust fund for the kids. I'm going to set up a trust fund, and that money is going to go in there to help those kids now and for college. I could have sat there, and I would have stood up, and I would have saluted that man. I can't now. I cannot look that man straight in the face and say, you have, because you're judged by the content of your character. I ain't perfect. Melissa, I know she ain't perfect. Nate, my buddy, I know he ain't perfect. Greg Barlow, he's far from perfect. The only one that's perfect is Jesus Christ. But when a guy's dead and you're still going after the lawsuit, I don't know. I really don't know. I just don't. If someone can understand that and explain that rationale of thinking of, you got more money than probably you need, and you're, you know, I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, I guess I'm different, you know, because the things in my life, I don't ever want anyone to go through the things I've gone through in my life and things that I've dealt with. And but life is what you make it. Because like 2 weeks ago, I basically had my high school reunion, and I was developing fasciitis on my left foot, and it's getting better because I'm doing all these things and taking this medication. I'm one of the retards that goes to the pharmacy, and when they prescribe you something or they tell you to do something, I've never heard of it. And I'm not like a drug person. I'm like one of these people that, you know, that can, oh, man, this thing's, man, can I have those, man? This thing's on the street, man. You get good money for them. Okay. Hydrochrylonirosis, 10 milligram. I thought this was the extended release, man. Extended release, man, this is really good, man. I don't know. I know, like, Tylenol and Advil, and that's about it, you know, and they prescribe me prednisone or something. I don't know, I don't know what it is, so I don't have to ask, you know, but I'm doing what I'm supposed to, and it's helping out, but I went out, Leslie Miller wanted me to come out to one of the two nights, because he knew it was my high school reunion, and one of the two nights, they were playing in Niner Squares East and West, and they wanted me to come out, and I went out Friday night to the reunion and saw some people and said some stuff and met my good friend Chris, my high school girlfriend, wife, you know, and we got talking about stuff, and we had the same commonalities and stuff, so she's great. And I was sitting there, and Saturday I was going to go to the reunion. I stopped by Nine Ash Brothers and, you know, went and saw Howard and Rain and saw Howard and Leslie Miller and all that. And I was going to go to the reunion, but my foot was killing me, and we were, like, so shorthanded, and I was working overtime and everything. And just, like, I couldn't do it. And so I ended up just going home that night. And there were some people that wrote, like, you know, it's high school hasn't changed. This hasn't changed. But no one knew me. Yeah, well, I didn't know. The most embarrassing thing I would have had at my reunion would have been going up to someone and saying, so what do you do now? What's your name again? And then be like, yeah, and then start talking to him. And she's like, excuse me? And said, you're not from Jeff, class 94? No, oh, sorry. Yeah, we're having a high school reunion here, so I'm just going around and seeing if you're Tommy Callahan? Oh, my gosh. That's Tommy Callahan. Big Tom Callahan's son. He lives Callahan Auto. I graduated with that kid. We used to get donuts lodged right here. You know, I mean, trying to go to people that, hey, are you who you are? Who are you? What are you? Or well, anyone would have gone up and talked to anyone and said hi to anybody. They would have done it. That's, you know, that's what you make it. If you wanted to have fun at the reunion, you could have. You know? I had a blast talking to some people and reminiscing. And it's just kind of gets you in the chest when how many people don't even live near here. Like, well, I'd have to go out to Arizona to see you if I wanted to. You know, you're in San Diego. You're here, you know, so. That's just crazy. But life, I believe what you make it, you know? I mean, I shouldn't even be here. And this is probably, just in case there's kids listening, I probably shouldn't listen to this, just in case you got kids out there. But basically, I had an opportunity, because I'm a chef. That's all I know. I mean, if I have to get out of the kitchen, I don't know what I'd do, because that's all I know, you know? Because I don't make money off this radio program, and all I do outside of this is just do caterings and cakes and stuff if I need to, and because I like to. And but anyway, I wanted to work in New York. I really did. You know, I wanted to do New York or somewhere big. And I think I said this on the program before, but, and I'm going to sleep on the floor. No, you don't want to sleep on the floor, because a buddy of mine went back to, was going back to New York, and we were going to work at this place. And I'm like, I'll do whatever. I don't care. I'll sleep on the floor. You know, we'll put money together. We'll help you pay with your mom's rent. We'll buy groceries, whatever. We'll help her out. No, no, no. You don't want to do that. So I took a job at something different, and which turned into Amazing American Girl, which turned into Porky's Amazing American Girl. And when I was at Amazing American Girl, I was doing the catering, and I remember waking up one morning, and yes, sir, Die Hard Part 4 or 5, or which one of them, you know, because first of all, it was a tower. Second one was an airport with planes. Now they got a tower with planes. Yeah. Woohoo! And that's when I shut the TV off, went and lied down. The next thing I know, I come back, and lo and behold, Mom called. Turn on the TV right now. A plane just hit the Twin Towers. If I would have had my way and not God's way, I wouldn't be here today. I'd have been killed in 9/11. Because I would have been working down there, right there at the heart of that ground zero when that happened. Because my buddy's mom called me the next day and said he didn't make it, and you wouldn't have made it either. And everyone, I've had people, well, why would God save you and not him? And I'm like, well, I wasn't going back home. He was going to where he was born and living with his mom and help pay the rent and do things and be there. It wasn't like he was going. I was the one that was going, because I was going to work in a big city. But hey, why the heck would you want to do that? You know. But I've had many close calls. You know, when I got diagnosed with my muscle issue, I just didn't see a point of being here. I mean, you know, who's going to want me? Who's going to care? Why should I care? You know, no one really believes me. You know, I don't have, you know, I'm having to, it doesn't matter what the doctor tells me or puts in my face as far as evidence, no one else is going to understand me or believe me or why I live, you know. But I just learned to say, okay, you know, life is living it to the fullest. I remember one night, about five days in a row, off and on. Not a second in a row, but like 5 days off and on. I watched this program. I'm like, my dad was always a put up or shut up type person. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? I'll feed the truck. I'm just going to do this. I'll put it to $20. I'll feed the truck, whatever. You know, your $20 a day will ensure that we can get a truck full of food to a city near you to give those people that need it most. And, you know, I'll donate food and whatever. I'll give the money and for the truck, whatever. You know, what's the worst that can happen? It's like 11 o'clock at night, and I call this number, and, hi, my name's Jason. Thanks for calling the 700 Club. How can I help you today? And all this, I'm like, what is this? And, you know, and I just wanted to know why they wanted to grab me by my neck, show me through the phone, and say, yo, we love you. I don't know who you are, but I love you. And we'll, you know, and we talk for like 20 minutes, and, you know, and I've been a member ever since. That's like 96, I think. Not 96, but 2006, and and it's just changed my life, and it's just amazing, because everyone can, you can be happy if you want to be happy, you can be sad if you want to be sad, but when you, well, I went to the reunion, and it was the same old, same old. Well, I believe we gravitated to the people we hung out with in high school or whatever, but at the same time, you know, I was willing to talk to anybody. I'm still that kind of guy. I'm the Neil Peart, you know. I just want to, I have no expectation if I talk to a stranger. They don't know me, you know. But, oh, there's that cookbook author, radio host, and, you know, cake decorator, chef, and I'm a king, you know, you have this expectation that you have to live up to, I think, or whatever. Maybe if I go up to them and I don't know them, I know that I think I know them, but I don't, or that's not who I think it is, or whatever. You know, or if I go up to someone, I don't even have a clue who it is. You just got a Grateful Dead shirt on. I said, "What shows you been to?" I was on tour for off and on a lot, you know, and before a Rush concert, and we ended up talking, me and like a group of people for like 4 hours before a Rush concert in Chicago at the Charter One Pavilion, I think it's called. And in the process, one lady was like a paramedic and ended up helping somebody that collapsed and was starting to have like a, they got really cold and like went into shock and all this. And we're running down there. She goes, "I'm a paramedic." And we get there and, "Excuse me, miss," because "I'm a paramedic. Anybody done anything?" No. And she goes, "Okay." And she had like, she had a thing in her, and in this van. She ran down there. She said, "Okay, write this down. This BP is this over this and all this stuff. And okay, we need shirts. Shirts. We need to cover this man up and all this stuff." And I'm like, all this just from talking to a guy about what shows he went to, and I'm here damn near saving a life or whatever. You know, didn't expect it, but. But my point is, I'm, like, Neil Peart just wants to go from town to town. He doesn't want to be known as that drummer. He wants to have people drooling, you know, over him. He just wants to talk to someone as a person. So what? I'm a drummer, and I'm a famous drummer, and I'm the drummer of Rush, and, you know, who cares? I'm just a normal guy. I put my pants on like everyone else, and you can't understand why people just can't talk to him, you know, like a normal human being. That's why if you ever see Neil Peart out in the street, don't, just treat him like you don't know him, like you don't know who he is. Just treat him like a normal, don't even, you know, and you'll probably go somewhere. But like you said, the way he does his touring now is he's like, so many people just feel like they want to try to invade his life and be his new best friend, and he's like, he didn't have to deal with that. I'm like, I would just be like, okay, hey, I'm here to set up the stage, whatever. I just want to do whatever I need to do to set up the stage. You know, if you will, you know, I don't want nothing to do with you unless I need to. So, and it's one of those things that it's about to respect. I mean, you look at Obama right now, per se, he doesn't even hide the fact that he doesn't care anymore. It's amazing how it's just kind of like point blank, blunt. I don't know what I'm doing. Whatever. I'm not even going to hide the fact that I'm clueless and I'm not doing anything. Because look at, like, when my mom says she'd rather have had Bill Clinton in the White House right now, that's scary. I mean, but he did do stuff. I mean, he was one of the, because it was back in the BBC that did like a study, and he was one of the most productive presidents as far as getting the economy going, believe it or not. Whether, I mean, it goes back to like the Monica Lewinsky thing. Does it matter? If he did it or didn't do it, does it matter? Yes, it does. But if that hadn't happened, you know, he created jobs by getting people to stay at the White House for money. You know, but I'm just, it's just one of those things that, you know, life is what you make it, you know, and it all comes back to respect. I mean, you know, like I said with Don Imus, when he apologized, they're open the floodgates, because now, since he can't call them ladies, when he can't say what he said, like that ESPN announcer, when he made those comments about, you know, the player and hitting the person on the head, you know, Whoopi Goldberg said some things on The View the other day, and she spoke her mind. I used to listen to Whoopi Goldberg on The Light in Chicago, and the reason why I listened to her off and on, I didn't agree with her a lot, but she speaks her mind. She didn't care. I don't care if you like me or don't like me. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I have that right. I have that right to say, you know, Jesse Ventura deserves that money. If she wanted to say that, which she didn't, but let's say she wanted to say that, she has the right to say that. She has the right to an opinion. We all have a right to opinion. Where does the Constitution guarantee us the right to not be offended? You know, now I have to say the Cowboys and Redskins. I can't even use that W word in front of Redskins because I might offend somebody. You know, as long as you're referring to the first president, you say George Washington, that's okay. You're not going to offend me. But if you say blank Redskins, I'm going to be offended. That's why I prefer to say the Cowboys and Redskins. Just me, because I don't want to, because the Constitution guarantees me the right not to be offended, so, you know. And I'm still trying to come up with something, because you can't call them, I'll just say it, and I don't mean to offend anyone, you can't call them the 49ers, because that's an offensive word to people that were in the mining industry, like some of my ancestors, and I know what had ancestors. You know, so we need to come up with a creative new word to refer to the San Francisco team. I mean, it's just silly. 83 years we called them the Redskins. Now, oh, can't call them that. God forbid, you know. I'm just waiting for someone to pull a lawsuit and get like $4 million in defamation, you know, something like reservation, you know. We're the Navajo Reservation, and we are suing the NFL Network. I mean, seriously? I'm just waiting for that to happen. I mean, I'm one of these people. I have friends that I conceal and carry, and I have friends that support it and some that don't, but even my friends that don't really support it, they don't want me to lose my right to conceal and carry. And I'd go to, I'll just take Nate, for example. As an example, you know, I would sit there and say, "Hey, I got my conceal and carry on, just to let you know, it's on safety, so, you know, don't worry." Because, and I always do that with around people I don't know, just, you know, so because I have friends that they support it, they support my right to conceal and carry, let's say, but they won't have a gun, and you just don't interest them, and that's fine, you know. I mean, That's what makes this country so great, the ability to respect people and respect ideas. Well, the Republicans, you know, won this battle, or the Democrats won that battle. Well, not most Americans are finally starting to wake up and realize we don't want the American, we want the American verdict. We don't want what's best for Republicans or Democrats. We want what's best for us as a whole. Like that lady that I talked about, I think it was last week, that was interviewed, and she was like, well, as long as I have Obama, you know, I don't have to worry about paying my bills, I don't have to worry about gas my car. And now she's been interviewed later, and she goes, well, I was expecting to have, with that, like, lower gas prices, I wasn't expecting to still have $4 a gallon gas. I wasn't expecting to have a higher mortgage payment. She was just wanting, she was expecting to get, like a Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan help to make the economy better, not necessarily, like, oh, he's just going to pay for everything. He's going to help so that we can have lower payments with our mortgage and grocery bills and stuff like that. Turn the country around. And that's, you know, and it's just neat. It's just neat like that, you know, how you can see someone, and when you see what they say and you see what they say later, and you say, yeah, now it's nice what she was saying, what she meant by wanting the help and all that. And it's great. I mean, to see people waking up and saying, hey, wait a minute here. You know, if George Bush was the reason for the gas price, then why are we still at $4 a gallon? Because I still have liberal friends that post things, well, well, you say this about Obama's administration, but George Bush just did this. I'm like, well, and I actually wrote to him. I said, where did I say that when George Bush did this that I agreed with it? You know, I wasn't for the Patriot Act. Oh, but if you say something negative against this person, against this Republican, I'm not saying that it, the only thing I wonder is, okay, if you're bitching about the gas price under George Bush, why not under Obama? That's it. Keep it a same standard. If you're going to complain about a Democrat for doing this, complain about a Republican for doing the same thing. Call them both out. Say, hey, you know, if a Republican spent $1.5 million in a hotel room, what makes it right for a Democrat to do the same thing? Because that's what they'll say. Well, and Fox News, Biden spent this much on this hotel room in Brazil, and then the Democrats will find some Republican that did the same thing. And no one is going, stop. What makes it right? If it was wrong for Obama to do it, what makes it right for Hillary Clinton if she becomes president to do it? If it's wrong for Bill Clinton to do it, what makes it right for Ronald Reagan to have done it? You know, if it's wrong for Nixon to do it, why was it okay for George Bush to do it? You know, if one president can get away with it and it's wrong, then someone needs to say, stop. Just stop. We need to come together. We have more in common as a religion in Jesus Christ than we do differences between WASP, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, and Methodists, and Baptists, and Protestants, and Christians, and Catholics, and Roman Catholics, and Russian Orthodox, and Greek Orthodox. We all have more in common about God than we don't. That's the bottom line. You know, that's where we're at. We need to just respect each other and come together more on what we agree with and we disagree with. I'm going to end with something kind of fun. I'm looking at stones, you know, rocks, you know. And my buddy's like, rocks, stones, yeah, kidney stones, you know. What do you mean, rocks, diamonds? You know, I've been researching them for like a couple months, and I'm just fascinated by things. And when I was watching this documentary on how they man-made diamonds, and they're, oh, those are not real, those are not, da-da-da, and of course De Beers, like the 99% of the diamond industry is like, well, those are going to hurt, you know, they're trying to find ways to detect them, and of course you have to have like a $75 million machine they built to be able to distinguish between the two, because they're identical. The only difference is like when they put them in this light transfusion thing, a real diamond from the earth will be blue, and one from the machine-made is orange, or vice versa. I think it's the other way around, but other than that, they're identical 100%. And if you ever know how diamonds are made, they're found by little kids, and in some cases, if they think they're swallowing them to try to steal them, they've been shot and killed, and then they slice them open, and guess what's inside? No diamonds. He didn't steal any, but he killed the person, the slave person, in the diamond trade, and they're... And I've been looking at different things, and it's just really neat when you see the process about how they're made. Because I love that show, How It Was Made, and learning about the different processes involved in making stuff. I got about 90 seconds left, but it's just kind of neat because there's a Apollo company and there's a Genesis, and they make them in labs, and they're 100% identical to the exact same as in nature, but they're conflict-free. Being someone that's vegetarian, that supports animal rights and stuff, I support human rights. And when you see how violent and bloody and deadly diamonds can be, some of these man-made things are a great alternative. I just thought it was cool. But I mentioned that because I was looking it up and found this documentary and started watching it. I'm like, that's cool. That's kind of neat to see how they do that. And about how GE kind of came up with it originally, and it was some guy that said, well, let's add a piece of a diamond, and then we can. Then, when they do the process, it attaches stuff to it, and so it's pretty cool how they do that. And you can get if you were to get like a yellow canary diamond, like a 2-carat that's up to 20 grand, you can spend like 7 grand for a man-made one. Which to me, I don't understand colored diamonds really, because to me, a diamond is white, and if it's colored, then I would think it's a ruby or sapphire, whatever that is. But anyways, thank you all so much for listening and tuning in. God bless you all, and thank you. And check out those documentaries. They're kind of cool. Goodbye. Love you.